Badlands. Explain those Badlands. That's a hell of a name.
What's up, everybody? Good morning and welcome to The Brief. It is Wednesday, April 17th, and Patrick is on his way to Dallas this morning. So you get me, and tomorrow morning you'll have Patrick because I'll be on my way to Dallas. And so that's how that goes. All right, so let's get into our first sponsor, and then we'll get into The Brief. We've got quite the brief this morning. One moment, please. Hold for processing. All right, let's talk about insurance. Are you paying too much? Paying too much for your health insurance? High cost of medical insurance is about to get more daunting, but Mid-Atlantic Business Council has the solution. For over 30 years, David Becker has been helping small businesses get the best possible PPO coverage, and he has all the solutions. For over Mid-Atlantic Business is pleased to announce the addition of United Healthcare PPO plans in addition to the Cigna policies. Whether you're a sole proprietor or an employer with a larger group, there are proven ways to reduce your costs and get the best coverage available. David Becker and his son Jesse are here to help you get the best possible PPO insurance coverage at the lowest possible rates. If you're stuck paying for your own insurance, why not give David and Jesse a call to see if they can help you? Call for a free quote at 609-577-8557 or visit badlandsmedia.tv/Becker. One more time, that's 609-557-8557, badlandsmedia.tv/Becker. All right, let me see who's in the chat. Let's say what's up. It's been a while. I feel like it's been a while since we've done like a solo, we're all just chilling in the morning show, you guys. It's fun. It's fun and exciting. I see Alcides. Good morning. And Twisted01. I'm Kathy Lee. I see Fat Chance. And Garbear5. Good morning. Good morning. Whiskey Girl. I think I said Whiskey Girl, but if I didn't say Whiskey Girl, then good morning, Whiskey Girl. Let's see. Yeah, you guys are having quite the conversation before the show starts this morning. Kim Cass, it's good to see you. Silent Whisper, always good to see you. EC, good morning. We've got Angie and Joe04 and Judy French. I see we got Cujo. And it's always good to see you guys. Magravator, what's up? Good morning. And Bubba Ganoush, it's good to see all you guys. All right, what do you say we get into the Badlands News Brief? All right, Badlands News Brief, as always, brought to you by the indefatigable, as Patrick says, which means he cannot be fatigued. I don't know if Burning Bright can't be fatigued, but he is a damn good editor, and we're super grateful that he puts together the Badlands News Brief every single day. Jurors judged, faces saved, and memes made. Make sure that you're subscribed to us over on Badlands Substack as well. There are great writers with Badlands who aren't on the show. So if you're not subscribed to the Substack, then you might not even know how some of these awesome writers that we have. So make sure that you're checking them out. All right. Crumps. We're starting off strong this morning. Trump's criminal hush money trial has its first seven jurors. First seven jurors were selected on Tuesday to serve on Donald Trump's hush money criminal trial. As the selection process continues to choose a panel of 12 members and six alternates who can be fair to the former U.S. president. The judge also warned lawyers that he would not offer tolerate any efforts to intimidate prospective jurors after saying Trump, the Republican candidate for president in the November 5th election, was audibly muttering while one of the possible members of the panel was questioned. I'm going to come back to that in just a second. Trump faces 34 felony counts of falsifying business records to cover up a hush money payment of porn star Stormy Daniels shortly before the 2016 election. Daniels says she had a sexual encounter with Trump about a decade beforehand. Trump has pleaded not guilty and denies an encounter took place. He has called the case brought by Democrat Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg a partisan witch hunt meant to interfere with his campaign to unseat Democrat President Joe Biden. The hush money case is one of four criminal prosecutions Trump faces, which also stem from trying to overturn his 2020 loss and alleged mishandling of classified information. He has also pleaded not guilty to those charges, though the three other cases may not go to trial before the election. Reuters. All right. So Reuters is supposed to be a news wire, meaning you're getting, you know, kind of the objective news stories pushed over the wire, and they can be picked up and editorialized and or picked up and, you know, republished regularly by other outlets all over the nation. But this is not unbiased. This is not just straight news reporting. First of all, audibly muttering while one of the potential jurors was being questioned. From what I read, he said something under his breath. The judge said, I think your client might have been saying something while the juror was here. I'm not going to tolerate that. And Reuters turns that into audibly muttering. That's an editorial choice. The other way that you know you're being propagandized is we hear all the time about democracy, right? And this is a threat to democracy, and we're awesome because we're saving democracy. The editorial choice to say Democratic Manhattan District Attorney and Democratic President Joe Biden, that is a very intentional choice. They don't say Democrat, which is the appropriate adjective there. It's Democrat. They are Democrats. There is nothing Democratic about what Alvin Bragg is doing, and there is certainly nothing Democratic about Joe Biden. But again, it's an editorial choice being propagandized. And Reuters is given the you know, kind of legitimate news pat on the head. People think that they are getting straight news from Reuters or the AP. Neither one of those is giving you straight news. They're giving you editorialized content in an effort to propagandize you. Our take. We followed the play-by-play of Inner City Press again for day two, and jury selection was fiery. Several jurors straight up said, I can't be impartial, while others claimed they could, despite social media posts revealing their bias. The judge excused many, rejected challenges to others, and ultimately seven jurors were seated. Jury selection for the remaining five and an expected six alternates continues on Thursday. Let's hope the jury can be more impartial than the press. Reuters has effectively already convicted President Trump, which is convenient for the prosecution considering many people still think Reuters is journalism. Can 45 get a fair trial in New York? Outlook uncertain. And there was another, I'm gonna blank on his name. If we have time at the end, I'll look it up. But there was a guy in New York, totally different trial, nothing to do with President Trump, who was convicted on ghost gun charges yesterday. He wasn't manufacturing them to sell. He wasn't selling them. He wasn't engaging in any criminal activity with guns. He wasn't doing anything wrong. Wasn't committing any crimes with the guns. He was buying parts legally online and creating them as a hobby. And he was raided and he was charged and he was convicted. And if I'm not mistaken, right now he's in Rikers for his hobby that the government of New York decided they don't like. I don't think anybody can get a fair trial in New York at this point is my point. Another take. Hear me out. While the MSM and their deep state handlers spent what's left of their socio-political capital, it's not much, trying to convince you to doom out, keep in mind this man has produced two of the most memetic images in modern American history during the same witch hunt for opposite reasons. And then the meme says, corporate needs you to find the differences between this picture and this picture. And you get, they're the same picture. On the one side, we see Trump's mimetic game face in which he lets the deep state, but more importantly, his base, know just how screwed they really are when the reckoning comes back on his second public term, which will be born on the back of our sovereign will. On the other hand, we have the latest masterwork, which demonstrates the exact mood, albeit one that leads to the same endpoint. While the latest court sketch is almost goofy in its virility, it's also communicating calm under fire, or as Anons say, comfiness and coziness in equal measure. The question you need to ask yourself is the same one they are right now. Does Trump seem afraid to you? Burning bright. I just want to pull up. Do we have those? Yeah, here we go. The images. Just want to show the images again. No, I don't think he seems afraid. I think he seems pissed. And I think he should seem pissed because this is egregious. It's just egregious what has been done to all norms, all acceptable practices in terms of prosecuting your political opponents. All of that's gone straight out the window. And I think that's very dangerous for us. But I don't think he seems afraid. And I do think that this trial will boomerang like the rest of them. All right. Israel war cabinet decides on military response to Iran, even as Blinken pleads not in anyone's interest. Israel's war cabinet has just decided on a response to Iran's weekend attack, according to a breaking report by the country's Khan public broadcaster. At this point, it seems a matter of if not when, even as the U.S. and European countries lean on Israel not to escalate. Below is the Hebrew media statement on the conclusion of Tuesday's high-level meeting, machine translation. Israel has decided how to respond to Iran's missile attack. This was reported Tuesday evening on Khan 11 Evening News. Israel is now waiting to seize an opportunity. The agreement came against the backdrop of significant disagreements in the Israeli leadership over the timing and nature of the response. Some ministers demanded to wait for an agreement on the international coalition, while others thought it was necessary to respond immediately. Axios, at the same time, is reporting that U.S. Secretary of State Blinken just told a group of American Jewish leaders at the White House wants to see no further escalation, essentially signaling the Washington position that a return to the status quo before the Saturday massive Iranian attack is desirable. The report cites Blinken as saying that further escalation with Iran is not in the interests of either the U.S. or Israel, three people who attended the meeting told Axios. Zero hedge. Interesting. I think they did, if I'm not mistaken, they did announce that they are going to retaliate. Because that's how we do war now. We just like give 72 hours notice and then do like symbolic bombings. It's apparently super real and normal and not at all indicative of watching a movie. Our take. Strategy is really important when planning anything, most especially in war. Establishing an end game, a final goal, is the most critical part of developing a strategy. So what is Israel's end game when it comes to Iran? Bibi Netanyahu has been talking about going to war with them since at least the 1990s, so this idea is nothing new. Is it Bibi's desire to completely destroy Iran in the existential conflict? Is it to force Iran to surrender and submit as a vassal of Israel? Or is it to establish a real and lasting peace that is built on mutual respect? Respect comes in many forms. It doesn't have to be based on love or admiration. What is the purpose behind this silly idea of a limited attack? To flex your big muscles and to show the world how strong you are? Frankly, it sounds like something feckless an insecure man would pursue. So this must be Jake Sullivan's idea. Well played, Ghost. I think this is Ghost. It's got to be Ghost, right? Yeah. Jake Sullivan's idea. If you aren't attacking Iran with the intent of waging real war, then what is the point in attacking them at all? The idea that a regional coalition will form against Iran, which is behaving itself following the rules of the UN Security Council, unlike Israel, is a fever dream. If anything, the opposite is actually occurring. The longer that Israel drags out this entire post-October 7th campaign, the more the region and the world at large coalesces around those on the receiving end of Israel's aggression. For some reason, Israel sees itself as the infinite player in this chess match, but it is not. The infinite player is the other side, Iran/Palestine, which just needs to bide its time and hold on long enough for the world to wake up and realize that Israel's ever-expanding campaign is not one that will foster peace, but one that is fostering more war. With every bomb they drop, they create more dissidents, not only in Palestine and Arabia, but also online among observers worldwide. There seems to be this thought that they can kill an idea, such as Hamas or Iran or Palestinian statehood, with bullets. But as anyone who has seen the film V for Vendetta knows, ideas cannot be killed because ideas are bulletproof. Killing an idea's messenger only returns him into a martyr, strengthening the reach and resolve of the idea. So I ask again, what is the end game with Iran? Is it an existential battle of biblical proportions equating to World War III? We're already in World War III. But if the answer to that question is no, then why order another offensive strike, especially one designed not to escalate tensions? Is such a strike intended to inspire fear or intimidation in the minds of a government that is comfortably allied with two of the world's great superpowers, Russia and China? To those who purport that it is the Iranian regime who is just so desperate to exacerbate a conflict in order to maintain its grip on power, if this is true, then wouldn't Israel suing for peace be Iran's ultimate undoing? This is how a real strategist would think. Do we have any real strategists involved in these conversations, or just a bunch of hammers looking for a nail in a room full of machine screws? The real art of war is the art of peace. Ghost of Base Patrick Henry. So Ghost and I disagree on this topic. I don't think that a lot of these moves in the region are real. I do think that Iran is supporting Hamas and Hezbollah's actions against Israel. And I think it's very silly for them to think that they can get away with that with no response. And it feels like we're going back to October 7th, where Israel was attacked, Israel was respond, and Israel is yelled at for responding, and the people that attacked them are the real victims. Now Iran is the victim. I think that this is emotional. Please let's whip people up into a religious war. I started out watching the movie night last night, but I hadn't seen the movie. And so one of you guys dropped the link to the director's cut in the chat, and I ended up watching the movie instead of watching the movie hour, story hour with Burning Bright and Chris. So I'm going to go back and watch that part of it today, because I actually sat down and watched the movie, but I was texting with Ghost during it. First of all, I was super bored during that movie. I feel like that's a boy movie. Maybe there's loads of girls in the chat that loved it, but I was super bored. I think it got kind of good after the king died, the leper king died. I was kind of more interested in it until then. It's not lost on, I think, any of us that we're talking about a conflict that goes back thousands of years. And the idea that Jake Sullivan is going to forge a lasting peace is hilarious. So I don't trust governments, whether it's Iran's government or Saudi Arabia's government or Israel's government or the United States government or Russia's government or China's government. I don't trust them. I think it's fun to kind of talk about a sovereign alliance and whether or not there are white hats in control. If there are white hats in control, I think that they are probably acting more akin to Chris Paul's evil twin theory and battling the evil people in their institutions themselves. So, you guys could probably tell that was a little bit difficult for me to read, because I think a lot of it is kayfabe and is what it is. But love Ghost. Consider him a good friend. All right. Another take. Israel is an exhaustingly tense topic, even in a community that's supposed to be heterodox in its ability to consider bicameral mindsets. when it comes to events that are quite literally largely unknowable to those without direct access to intel on the ground. This is why pulling back and observing the macro narrative spilling out of such events is not only easier, but significantly more advantageous to developing a movable framework of the macro trend line of unfolding stories, and more importantly, how the collective mind is viewing them. Wherever you stand on Israel, what the normie layers of the collective mind are observing in back-to-back weeks is foreign proxies of the U.S. hegemon eschewing the direct consequences of the Biden administration, even while pressuring said administration for financial and military support for their continued proxy wars. Normies see a total loss of control by the establishment. That's bullish for change, which means it's bullish for Trump, which means it's bullish for us. Burning bright. I like that take. The other thing that I would just say about this this situation, you know, and what's happening in that region, and specifically to the land of Israel and the broader region, is I understand people's arguments that the current government of Israel is not biblical Israel, and I would probably find places in that to agree. Again, governments, not a fan. That being said, I don't believe that we can ignore what the Bible says about prophecy, about the nation of Israel and about that land. And I think that we ignore that prophecy at our own peril. All right. Enough of that. Let's talk about love letters. Attention, all you Badlanders with purring pals and feathered friends. Say hello to love letters. 100% pure. Kiln-dried wood, free from chemicals and oh so kind to Mother Earth. No dust, no mess, no toxins, just a lightweight solution that's gentle on your wallet and even gentler in your home. Our biodegradable litter is crafted from wood destined for landfills, giving it a new purpose in your pet's life. Cats love it. The Astonishing formula works like magic to neutralize that notorious cat urine odor, keeping your home pine fresh and welcoming. For bird lovers, it zaps moisture from bird droppings, crumbling them away, all while being safe if pecked at or ingested. For reptiles and critters too, our mix is crafted to dilute the pine scent, ensuring those little lungs stay happy and healthy. Plus, every 30-pound bag of love litters will last up to 6 months, saving you money. Transform your pet care routine today. Visit badlandsmedia.tv/litter. That's badlandsmedia.tv/litter, and breathe easy with a litter that loves your pet as much as you do. All right, and I have got my love letters right here. Let me pull this down for a second. We got our love letters right here. Safe for our earth, made from wood. Love my critter kitten litter is what it says. And it is, you can see, like, it's kind of these wooden pellets that are, you know, as it said, made with wood that is destined for landfills. So you're saving the planet. And democracy. Give me a minute. I'll figure out how to make that work. If anything that the commies do, they can claim is saving democracy, I think we should reclaim that and start claiming the same thing. Hit the thumbs up, guys. Do me a favor and smash that thumb. Really helps us out here in Badlands a lot. It is the number one metric that we rely upon at Badlands and on Rumble. It drives the leaderboard. It drives a lot of our metrics that matter for us in the background of Badlands as well. So you are definitely helping us by hitting that thumb. It's not just an ego thing. It truly matters. All right. Oh, good. More about Iran and Israel. Iran threatens to attack Israel with weapons never used before as it receives Russian support. Iran is threatening to deploy never-used-before weaponry in response to a potential Israeli counterstrike as the Islamic Republic receives support from Russia. Quote, we are prepared to use a weapon that we have never used. God, I hope that's how you say that, because that's really fun to say. I hope I'm not insulting him by saying it that way. That was really fun to say. The spokesperson for the Iranian Parliament's National Security Committee said Iran International reported. He urged Israel to act wisely. After launching more than 300 drones and missiles at Israel over the weekend, Iran warned that it would launch another attack if Israel responded to its assault. However, Israel's war cabinet, formed days after after Hamas's October 7th, 2023 attack, has expressed that it is determined to respond. Russia justified Iran's attack as self-defense after Iran blamed Israel for airstrikes in Syria earlier this month that killed the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps officials, including Brigadier General Mohammad Reza Zahidi. Israel has not claimed responsibility. Just the news. Okay. Yeah. And we have another ghost of Base Patrick Henry take on this totally real and not at all fabricated war. Our take. The collaborative infrastructure projects mentioned here between Russia and Iran are something that Matt Arra and I have discussed extensively on Breaking History. In fact, cooperating on mutually beneficial infrastructure is exactly how nations develop bonds of friendship and trust. In the 19th century, America was working with Russia to build a massive railroad project in Siberia, but those efforts were subverted by bad actors who did not want to see America and Russia working together. We actually have a very long history of brotherhood and friendship with Russia going back to the American Revolution when they helped us defeat the British. But your would-be masters in D.C. do not want you to know that. Raisi told Putin that he does not want further escalation. Many will hear that and not believe him. But the fact remains that if it is Iran's desire to see Israel destroyed, all they have to do is sit back and allow Israel to continue on the course it is currently set. Yeah, I mean, or they could launch hundreds of missiles at them. As for this supposed weapon, who knows what they mean? The obvious assumption is nukes, but I don't think that's what they mean. I don't either. My guess is that they were referring to something non-kinetic, such as a cyber warfare weapon. But I also want to take the Chris Paul Patrick Gunnell's position and speculate that there is no secret weapon. And this is all just psychological warfare designed to bait Israel into destroying itself in a punch-drunk fit of rage. Personally, I think we should be focusing on building things rather than destroying them. Ghost of Base Patrick Henry. Yeah, I mean, that's certainly where Biden is focused, releasing $6 billion in response to Iran and some hostages, making sure they've got access to money that they can then turn around and use in the region. They're certainly building things. Some would argue they're building a caliphate. They do talk about building a caliphate. And this is the war that never ends. I saw a meme yesterday. It said the purpose, it was a quote from somebody and I don't remember who, so I apologize for that. But it was the purpose is not to end the war. It's to make sure it lasts forever or something like that. Make sure it continues forever. I think there may or may not be a secret weapon. The fact that we're threatening with we're going to use a weapon we've never used before, which evokes the idea of nukes, which, you know, if Patrick was here, he would be sure to tell all of you nuclear weapons are fake. Nuclear energy is real. The idea of world ending powers in the vein of Oppenheimer, Patrick would tell you is fake. I tend to agree with Patrick on this, because when you actually dig into it, really great baseless conspiracies that John and Zach did with Patrick on nukes. I would encourage everybody to check that out. It's probably like 6 months ago or something along those lines. But this is nation states arguing and posturing in certain ways to achieve certain ends. I don't really think that we have the ability to trust any of these actors to tell us the truth, any of them. So there's that. And I just want to ask everyone here, do you guys remember when President Trump was president and we had the Abraham Accords and worldwide peace? That was fun, wasn't it? Diana D11, I'm so excited about GART. Looking forward to meeting you, Ash. You're a favorite of mine. Well, thank you so much, Diana. And I'm looking forward to meeting you too. I will be flying out tomorrow morning. I have a very busy day today because I'm doing this show and then I'm jumping over with Brian because it's Wednesday. So I'll be on the brief this morning. And then I am filming the Colorado show, which is a show that I do on Sundays on a different network. I'm filming that this afternoon with a new co-host that we're going to do kind of a demo and see how it goes, see if we have good chemistry together. So I'm excited for that. And then Brian and I are taping while we vote. Then I'm going to the airport at like 2 a.m. for my flight. So very busy day today, but I'm super excited to meet everybody that's going to be in Dallas and see a lot of you again. I love hanging out at GART. It's a lot of fun. Kuja says, what happened to the new glasses? They're still here. They're like right here. I like wearing different glasses. I did stop wearing the black ones though, because of the glare. And I did that for you guys because quite frankly, the glare felt like safety goggles because you couldn't see how well my eye makeup was done or not done. And so, I was, you know, kind of safety. It's like safety blanket kind of hiding behind the glare, but I stepped out of it and I am showing my eyes. But no, I do have my, my new glasses, but I really do. Rebel Ruby says, I like these glasses the best. I really like these too. I love my old red ones. My old red ones were my favorite glasses and I sat on them and broke the arm off. And then in trying to fix them, screwed up the lenses with super glue. And those were like super expensive glasses that, you know, I got from like an eye doctor and all of that kind of stuff. These I got off the internet, but, yeah, so there you go. Those totally irrelevant and unnecessary information. Supreme Court appears divided on a case that could upend felony charges against January 6th rioters and Trump. I didn't get the sense that they were that divided when Brad and I covered this yesterday, but let's jump in. The Supreme Court on Tuesday appeared divided over whether the federal government had properly charged hundreds of alleged J6 rioters with felony obstruction. It's nice actually that they say rioters instead of insurrectionists. I have noticed more of that. I've noticed more of the use of rioters over insurrectionists in recent times. Who is this? This is ABC. Fascinating. All right, with felony obstruction, with several justices voicing concern that the prosecutor's broad interpretation of a financial crimes law could be weaponized against political protests. The high-stakes case brought by a former Pennsylvania police officer facing charges for his alleged conduct at the Capitol in 2021 could upend the convictions and sentences of more than 300 defendants and could also potentially invalidate two of the four charges against former President Donald Trump brought by special counsel Jack Smith. At issue in the case of Fisher versus United States is whether the Sarbanes-Oxley Act of 2002, enacted in the wake of the Enron scandal to prevent the destruction of evidence in financial crimes, can be used against alleged participants in the events of January 6, 2021, which disrupted congressional certification of electoral votes from the 2020 presidential election. ABC News. I don't think they said insurrection once in that article. That is a big deal, you guys. That's a change. That is us being able to see and notice a change. ABC News, considered to be network news. You know, they consider themselves real news. Like they're like real journalists. It's very silly, but that's you know, how they are. When you consider that, you know, Politico and MSNBC are still straight up in, you know, calling everyone an insurrectionist that was even close to the Capitol on that day. And we see this kind of language from ABC News. I think that's a good thing. Our take. The U.S. Supreme Court heard oral arguments in Fisher versus U.S. on Tuesday, and the petitioner is asking the court to find that the government erred in charging J6 defendants under 18 U.S. Code 1512 section C sub 2. If you missed Badlands media coverage, including commentary by Brad Colodero Getz and yours truly, you can check it out here. Brad and I had a lot of fun. It's actually the first stream that Brad and I have done together, aside from both of us being on the Liberty Den with a bunch of other crazy Badlanders. And we had a really good time. We said, I think we both agreed that we want to do more live special event live streams together because we had fun doing it. The statute deals with tampering with a witness, victim, or an informant, and Section C explicitly deals with evidence and other obstruction. The statute was passed in the wake of Enron's scandal as part of a broader attempt to restore public trust in U.S. capital markets. Other sections of 1512 address killing or coercing witnesses, and legal analysts have long challenged the government's use of 1512 to charge mostly peaceful protesters for so-called riot. One of the most interesting parts of Brad and my discussion during our coverage was a big potential boomerang. That is, the J6 committee actually destroyed records to obstruct incoming House GOP investigations. The Biden DOJ may just have accidentally made the case for J6 committee members to be charged and tried under 18 U.S.C. 1512 Section C, both subsections 1 and 2. Yikes. Let's see what happens. So 1512 C1 deals with documents, destroying documents, records, etc. And then C2 begins with otherwise and goes into otherwise obstructs a proceeding. And that is the government is saying C2 stands alone and you don't have to have the, you know, anything having to do with C1. You don't have to have anything tethered to evidence requirements. That does, charging under C2 doesn't have to do with evidence. I think it's a stretch. I did not get the sense that the court was super divided. I think that the court was critical of both of the, both the petitioner and the government attorneys, but I didn't get the sense that they were a divided court for sure. P. Gunnels is in the chat and says, don't forget that Epic Moisture can be used on both skin and hair. www.epicminerals.net. And thank you, Patrick. And I will be sure to make that point one more time when we get to right before the bonus items, when we do the Epic Minerals ad. But thank you for the rant. I love it when you pay me money. It's awesome. Nebraska teacher charged with sexual abuse of student is wife of high-ranking U.S. defense official. It has been revealed that an Omaha, Nebraska substitute teacher who was caught having sex with a 17-year-old student is the wife of a high-ranking official in the federal government. Aaron Ward, 45, is married to Doug Ward, who serves as deputy director of the Department of Defense's Commander's Action Group and senior nuclear deterrence advisor at the UN, United States, Freudian, the United States Strategic Command. Nuclear deterrence seems like something pretty important considering Iran's announcement earlier in the brief. Ms. Ward admitted to having sex with a student in her family vehicle. However, because the age of consent in the state is 16, she was only charged with a felony sexual abuse by a school employee. Nonetheless, she could face up to 20 years in prison. As a mother of a 16-year-old, this is why some people take the law into their own hands. According to Daily Mail, Mrs. Ward and her 53-year-old husband have three children together, including a daughter who is around the same age as her victim, and have posted numerous photos together on social media. The post-millennial. Our take. This story was bad before it involved the Biden administration, and now it's worse, and it's weird. Remember when the Biden's transgender nuclear scientist was caught stealing luggage? Well, now the wife of Biden's senior nuclear deterrence advisor was caught having sex in her car with a 17-year-old student. I wonder what other kinds of degenerate criminals we might find in the Biden nuclear domain. Is there something in the water? The heartbreaking part of this story, in my opinion, is the kids. Yes, the 17-year-old being raped by the pedophile, but also the pedophile's children. Quote, Ms. Ward and her 53-year-old husband have three children together, including a daughter who is around the same age as her victim, end quote. I feel badly for this girl and the two other kids. Their mother's shame will mark their childhoods and impact the rest of their lives. For the student, according to the CDC, quote, the total lifetime economic burden of child sex abuse in the United States in 2015 was estimated to be at least $9.3 billion. There is real harm from Ward's action. Punishments should be severe. These stories, sexual descent, degeneracy, and crimes against children are becoming more common, but I don't think that's because the crimes are increasing. Rather, it seems that the mechanisms that previously would have shielded these crimes from the public aren't doing as much shielding. The very fact that this story made it into the news and wasn't buried by the regime to protect the DOD official is encouraging. Exposure, accelerate. Saudi Arabia calls for ceasefire in Gaza, says de-escalation in the region is a top priority. Saudi Arabia issues a renewed call for an immediate ceasefire and uninterrupted delivery of humanitarian aid in Gaza. Saudi Arabia's foreign minister, Prince Faisal bin Farhan, on a visit to Islamabad, says international efforts towards a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas have been wholly insufficient. We are now actively discussing the potential for famine in Gaza, and it means people are starving to death because humanitarian assistance is not getting to them. This is an unacceptable situation. Without directly mentioning an Iranian attack on Israel over the weekend, he says, quote, we are already in an unstable region, and the humanitarian catastrophe in Gaza is already inflaming the region. We do not need more conflict in our region. We do not need more confrontation in our region. So it is our position that de-escalation must be everyone's priority, the Times of Israel. Our take. The Saudi foreign minister, Faisal bin Farhan, is the most important diplomat in the world right now. $20 says this is ghost-based Patrick Henry. I wanted to take this opportunity to educate this audience on his specific background. Faisal bin Farhan, FBF, was born in Frankfurt, West Germany in 1974, spending part of his child there before attending school in the U.S. He went home to Saudi to attend business school at King Saud University in Riyadh. From there, he spent a few years as the vice chairman of the Saudi Company for Maintenance and Operations, which is responsible for managing the trades in the kingdom, plumbers, electricians, carpenters, the working class. In 2003, FBF founded an investment group based in Dubai called Shamal Investment Group. According to the group's website, they managed a portfolio of extraordinary investments that ostensibly focused on tourist-centric real estate development and entertainment experiences. This company appears to have played a role in the development of Dubai, which has resulted in the explosive growth of tourism and development in the city under the leadership of Mohammed bin Zayed, who was appointed Crown Prince of Dubai by his father that same year, 2003. It was MBZ who had this vision for a highly modernized Dubai. Fair to assume that FBF and MBZ have a relationship that goes back 20 years. FBF ran this investment group. Holy cow, how long is this? Oh my goodness. FBF ran this investment group until 2017 when Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman asked him to serve as the kingdom's ambassador to Germany. This appointment enraged a continent of powerful Saudi dissidents living in Germany who believes MBS and FBF were coming after them. 2 years later in 2019, MBS elevated FBF to become the Saudi foreign minister. It's my belief that FBF used his contacts in the region to broker specific meetings for Jared Kushner and facilitate the Abraham Accords. Now, what we know for certain is that around the time of the Abraham Accords, we were formally signed that the Abraham Accords were formally signed in 2020, MBS officially tasked FBF with working to expand the Accords by negotiating the inclusion of both Saudi Arabia and Palestine, reviving the 10 bullet points from the Saudi Peace Initiative that was presented at the Arab League Summit in Beirut in 2002 by MBS's uncle, King Abdullah al-Saud. Both the Bush and Obama administrations expressed admiration for the spirit of the initiative, but rejected its specific terms of restoring the borders of Palestine to 1967 conditions. Now contrast FBF's background with that of MBS, who spent his entire life living in Saudi Arabia by his father's side, learning from him through hands-on experience. Unlike all his half-brothers and cousins, MBS rejected offers to attend school in Europe and the U.S., though maintained a deep interest in American culture from his childhood. Together, MBS and FBS represent a very unique pairing of proud Arab nationalists who seem to possess a personal admiration for Western culture. Having grown up in West Germany, FBF has surely seen the realities of communism and totalitarian regimes firsthand, and is likely cognizant of the efforts to destabilize Europe through weaponized migration. MBS has already demonstrated his desire to dismantle corrupt networks as well as regressive institutions such as radical Islam. They both share a strong desire for peace, which is almost certainly driven by a vision to transform the Middle East into the true geographic center of the world through extraordinary investments and ambitious tourist-centric real estate development. For example, an expressed desire to transform the Red Sea coast into the next French Riviera. If only there were a legendary real estate developer out there who shared their passion for building great things, as well as their unrelenting desire for justice, but was also in a position politically to help them achieve their ambitious long-term vision. None of this can be achieved as long as there is war and chaos in the region. Ghost of base Patrick Henry. Holy novel Batman's ghost. All right. Okay, so it's bonus items time, which means it's time to talk about epic minerals. And I'm going to play a video here in just a second. First, we're going to take our zeolite together, everybody. Five sprays. We do it together every morning. And that's it. And with that, the metals just flow out of your body. It's science. It's what I'm told. Told that it's science. It's super sciencey. Here's, let's learn more together.
He said something that really hit home about this phenomena of chemtrails.
Manganese will make you kill your mama. How much manganese are you spraying in my neighborhood at night while I'm asleep?
Military and some commercial jets have been fitted with huge barrels of at least 49 different kinds of documented chemical poisons. Barium is toxic to all mammals. Aluminum is known to diminish kidney function and destroy brain cells and cognitive function. A problem, a serious problem.
Patent number 500-3186 describes cooling the earth with metal oxides sprayed into the stratosphere.
And I thought, well, geez, this is what I do for a living. I was finding tons and tons of large quantities of aluminum, barium, strontium in the forms of oxides and sulfates. Instead of protecting the people, we are poisoning the people.
Detox and prevent heavy metal poisoning. www.epicminerals.net, promo code Badlands.
Whoops. Sorry, guys. I was saying that reminder that you can also at epicminerals.net get your Epic Moisture body butter from Patrick's company, Epic Minerals. It's full of all sorts of good stuff, really good moisturizing stuff. You know, the age always shows on the hands. My girls can back me up on this, that your age shows on your hands. And Patrick's body butter is helping us deceive the world and make our hands look younger. So make sure you check it out, everybody. Epicminerals.net. Do I have sound now? I see some people saying yes and some people still saying no. Can you hear me? Father, can you hear me? All right, all right, good. All right, so we've got three bonus items and very little time because I need to get more coffee before I join Brian. So, brink of unrest, migrants flood New York City Hall in protest of losing luxury hotel rooms. New York City could be on the cusp of social unrest as hundreds of migrants have flooded the grounds of City Hall in Lower Manhattan to protest the scaling down of luxury hotel accommodations funded by us, the taxpayers. Elon Musk responded with wow, while another ex-user posted a video of angry migrants surrounding the City Hall complex building. Security is beefed up as the situation remains tense. The migrant protest comes one day after pro-Palestinian groups shuttered critical infrastructure nationwide across various metro areas of the U.S., including the Brooklyn Bridge. The risk of social instabilities nationwide is elevated as the Biden administration threw open southern borders and a shadowy network of NGOs have facilitated the greatest invasion of illegal aliens the nation has ever seen. Zero Hedge. And yes, Zero Hedge, I would just like to rebuke you slightly. We're not allowed to say illegal aliens anymore because that hurts their feelings. So we go with criminal invaders. Thank you very much. White House deems House impeachment inquiry over. President Biden formally declines to testify. That's fun that the White House can just say this impeachment inquiry of the White House is over. Fun. The White House formally declined an invitation by House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer, Republican Kentucky, for President Biden to testify in connection to his son Hunter's business dealings. As our office has demonstrated and you acknowledged in recent fundraising email, your impeachment investigation is over, Richard Sauber, special counsel to the president, wrote in a letter to Comer on Monday. It is past time for the House to focus on the issues that matter to the American people rather than continuing to waste time and taxpayer resources on this partisan charade. Sauber said that the House Oversight Committee's impeachment inquiry has succeeded only in turning up abundant evidence that, in fact, the president has done nothing wrong. Yikes. Yet rather than acknowledge this reality, your March 28th, 2024 letter contains the same litany of false allegations that have been repeatedly debunked and refuted by the very witnesses you have called before your committee and many documents you have obtained, the special counsel told Comer. Your insistence on peddling these false, unsupported allegations despite ample evidence to the contrary makes one thing about your investigation abundantly clear. The facts do not matter to you, Fox News. From the same people that told you Hunter Biden's laptop was fake news and Russian disinformation. They're still lying to you. They're still gaslighting you. And it's particularly fun to hear Democrats talk about not using their offices for partisan witch hunts after we all lived through the season of President Trump. And of course, you can't impeach an illegitimate president, so we're just going to watch this movie play out. Last story, Johnson gambles on plans separating Israel aid from Ukraine funds. After months of inaction, House Speaker Mike Johnson unveiled on Monday evening an outline of his plan to address the conflicts in Ukraine and the Middle East, defying Republicans who threatened to oust him from the speakership if he moved forward with funding for Ukraine. But Johnson, Republican Louisiana, risks angering many of his members with a convoluted plan aiming to placate his critics on the right while also giving national security hawks a chance to advance billions of dollars in aid to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. Johnson plans to put four different bills on the floor, essentially decoupling aid for Israel, which faces a barrage of missiles and drone threats from Iran over the weekend in retaliation for a deadly strike on its consulate in Syria, from help for Ukraine, which is more controversial inside his conference. The speaker will then advance separate votes for aid to Taiwan and a measure to satisfy Republican foreign policy demands, including the seizure of Russian assets and a House-approved bill that could ban TikTok from the United States, among other measures. A draft of Johnson's plan mirrors the Senate bill, according to five people familiar with the numbers, but may not include a humanitarian assistance mainly directed toward Gaza, Washington Post. And that is the brief. It's, just as horrifying as usual. Everybody, please smash that thumb for me. I'm going to get out of here and go grab some coffee, and then I'll be back in 5 minutes with Brian over on Badlands Daily. But thank you so much for joining me this morning on The Brief, and tomorrow morning, you will be here with Patrick as I am traveling to Dallas. Between now and then, have a great day, everybody, and smash that thumb on your way over to Daily. I'll see you guys in a bit.
Thank you so much for joining us, and don't forget to hit the thumbs up on this video. And a special thank you to all of our advertising partners. Please remember to shift your dollars to support those businesses that support Badlands Media.